Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and here we are, and wow. How about that March Madness? How about that crippling Villanova over Oklahoma? Okay, remember, in everything we do, especially trading, good defense always overcomes good offense. Okay, remember that. Just watch the games, and they'll tell you the story. You got to be defensive. You got to be defensive when you're trading, okay? Because there's a lot of funky things that go on in the business, and the footprints certainly tell the tale over the long haul. And when we look back, okay, at February 11th, just not that long ago, about 6 weeks ago, I was doing a live update and said, hey, this would be, it might be a spot to step in and buy. I also said personally, I wouldn't be a buyer. I might cover some shorts and I'd be looking to sell a rally somewhere. And of course, the rally came and it's still coming and it comes and it comes and it comes. So that's why you have to be defensive when you're trading and when you're investing, because nobody knows where the top is going to be. We've had a couple of opportunities that look like they would be tops, but we're still grinding. But today, I wanted to talk a little bit about a couple of things, and I don't know about you, but I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but I do see some things that, you know, do bother me, and I'm going to tell you, you know, there's a story going around, which I believe, okay, and actually I wrote about it today, that on February 11th, Janet Yellen called the Bank of England, and she called Mario Draghi. Now, I have said from the beginning that I believe that the central banks are in collaboration or cahoots, because the central banking system sucks. It's broken down. And what we've gone from now is a system that was supposed to work that actually never really did work well, in my opinion. And now if you look back at it, you can say, yeah, that's right. Now, I'm not going to say it's hindsight, because I could never make up my mind. And again, I could just go back, you know, 7 years ago and say, hey, I don't know. And now I'm convinced that I was right. My first opinion, which was they should let the banks go broke. We're going to go broke. You're going to be around the banks. So be it. Because we, the American people, get to pay the tab, as always, for the too big to fail banks. Now, we didn't cause the problem, but we get to pay for it. That's always a pleasurable thing. But back to the central banking system. So here we are, and we've got all these jackasses around the world trying to manipulate the market, trying to manipulate their currency to create a better result. So instead of letting markets price assets correctly, which is what they do, I mean, you know, we are, after all, on a supply-demand model, not a rig, fix your market, and screw the middle class. But, of course, that's what the central banks are there for. They're there to stick it to you as hard as they can because they're ignorant and they're stupid and they don't know any better. And it's really starting to piss me off because back to February 11th. So, now, again, I don't have facts for this. I read this, but I believe it. Janet Yellen calls Mario Draghi in the Bank of England, and all of a sudden, that same day, guess what? Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan, who owns part of the Federal Reserve, okay, buys back 500,000 shares of his stock. Miraculously, out of nowhere, the markets rally. And again, the rally was not hard to call. Okay, I don't want to make it sound like it, you know, that they totally rigged that. I mean, we came to an area of support, making a double bottom. So certainly, I can't say that the market shouldn't have rallied. But isn't it just coincidental that our Fed chair, Janet Yellen, happened to be on the phone with two other Fed chair alikes, okay, one the head of the European Central Bank and one ahead of the Bank of England. And miraculously, Jamie Dimon buys 500 shares of stock, and the markets have now rallied back to new highs on the year. Now, I'm not saying that there was collaboration. I'm not saying it was fixed, but what do you think? I mean, are you going to tell me that this is all just a funny coincidence that Janet Yellen had to call her cohorts in crime and they had to get the markets going up again? Now, again, I have a problem when markets are not legitimate. Okay, now, listen, we could have bought it. We had a footprint to buy, so I'm not complaining that we didn't buy. What I'm complaining about is that the doom that the central banks are trying to lay on the middle class again, that to me is a problem, because you understand what's going on here, I hope. You have a market that is being forced higher. It's not going higher because of demand. Now, so the markets themselves are not a supply-demand model, but we don't have all this extra money. We just had a jobs number. Oh, golly gee, we're getting 0.03% growth. Oh, my goodness gracious, we can have a party. We brought on another 215,000 minimum wage jobs. Gee, let's go out and rock and roll. Okay, but so now we've got the central banks maneuvering, and if you don't understand the legalized Ponzi scheme that they're creating, okay, remember, the banks, when you borrow money from the bank, just like when you charge your credit card, they don't ever want you to pay it back. They want you just to keep paying the interest, okay? And what they're looking for, they know that we're going to back anything that goes wrong, because you got the taxpayer. You've got the ability to print some more money. So why would you care? Okay. So why wouldn't you continue to devalue currency? Why wouldn't you continue to hope that these large loan payments get paid back? And we're not talking about the ones you and me for a car payment. We're talking about, you know, the multi-billion dollar loans that they give to these failing countries as well, knowing that we're going to make the debt good. So the banks can lend out the money, knowing that, guess what? Joe Schmuck in Illinois, okay, in Deerfield, that guy, Bubba, he can pay part of it back, because we're going to screw with his taxes. Okay, we're going to tax the system and continue to create a bigger problem. Now, you tell me if that seems of a fair and reasonable thing. I think not. I think we have, I mean, again, I can't call it criminal, but I tell you what, it's as damn close as you want to get. Where is our regulators? Now, compliance officers are up everybody's ass every 5 minutes. If you run a small firm, you can bet it they're up there trying to fine and penalize you. But meantime, you know, the big guys, they don't have problems. Why? Because they're taking care of them. They're paying them off. I mean, you think Bernie Madoff, okay, did that by himself? You don't think there was somebody on the inside that was there to help him? I mean, we're seeing the proof every single day that if you're a big bank, you don't have to worry about the same rules that everybody else has to worry about, because you get away with everything because you've got the Federal Reserve backing your ass up. Now, if you could tell me that you could agree with that, then God bless you. I can't. I can't see it. Okay, I don't understand it. I find it annoying. I think it's going to cause a bigger problem. At the end of the day, it's going to cause a bigger problem in this market, indeed, when it does happen. But I don't know about you, but something has to be done. Anyways, check out our friends at Thinkorswim. Every day, swim lessons with my buddies over there. Go check them out. That's the software choice of Bubba. Again, it's the best, most user-friendly for options, and they teach. They do everything to help you. Also, be one of our downloaders, libertytalk.fm. Every day, we've got over 200,000. We'd now like to get over 300,000.
All right, boys.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horse, and we will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horse.
Stay with me now. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time. The one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. What do you say, Jane King?
I guess just trying to figure out where we're going, economic-wise, political-wise, and it feels like the whole world is, like, in some kind of tumultuous thing right now. Like, I mean, I don't know where it's going to end, but it certainly feels like the stars are out of alignment. There's some weird stuff going on.
Well, how about if I give you a conspiracy theory, and I say that all of these central banks around the world are in cahoots with one another, trying to manipulate different economies, trying to turn the banking system into a socialistic banking system. What would you say?
Well, I think I wouldn't say that you were too far off. I have no question that they're all watching each other. They're probably all talking to each other and trying to figure out what they can do to keep the status quo. Because these guys know that, if the peasants come with the pitchforks, that they're out of jobs and all their cushy cocktail parties and dinners and private jets are gone. And the life that they have come to love is in jeopardy. So I think, what's happening, though, is that maybe the socialized thing isn't part of the original goal, but that's what's happening because they're all controlling everything. So that's kind of at least as I see it, kind of a byproduct of all the control that they're trying to do just to keep the status quo until they can all retire and live their cushy lives.
You know, the true Fed conspiracists, and there are many. There's a book written by Griffin, the Creature from Jekyll Island. You know, they believe that there is obviously a conspiracy going on, and I don't know if there is or not, but I do know one thing, and I'm going to get your take on this. In my opinion, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, in my opinion, the overall central banking system and the overall government does not really have the best interest of the citizens in mind, but more their own interest and their own money and how it affects their own personal lives. What do you say?
Yes. No, I think that's absolutely true. And they think that by keeping everybody happy, that, or content, let's say content. So most people in the world are not, achieving things, challenging themselves, challenging the status quo, rocking the world. They all just, what they basically think, the elite, is that let's keep everybody just happy, let's keep them employed, let's make sure they can go on their family vacation once a year and don't rock the boat, and we can all stay doing what we want to stay doing and making decisions for everybody. But actually, that model's coming under a little bit of jeopardy right now, I would say.
And I wouldn't disagree with you, and I hope it does come up under some jeopardy, because I would like to see some changes. There's nothing's going to be perfect. You and I both know that life isn't perfect. There's things that happen all the time. So, you can't always account for everything, but there are ways to at least try to make it better, and I think that's been lost. But more importantly, I know that you spoke at Purdue University, okay? And I'd like to know how that went. What was that like?
Well, it was great. I'm glad it's over. It's funny. I talk on TV every day, but when it comes to actual people, human beings that you can see, it's a totally different ball game. And plus, I spoke to two groups. I spoke to business leaders in Lafayette, Indiana. So these were, from your banks, your chamber of commerce. So there were some people in the religious community there, media. And then I spoke to students at the Cranert School of Management, the business school there at Purdue. So they were kind of the same, but a little bit different depending on the audience. And I just, really wanted to make sure, especially the students, that I provided them with something useful. Have you ever spoken to college students? Toughest crowd ever. They don't even hide it if they're bored and falling asleep.
Right.
So I really wanted to make sure that I was giving them some good information. And I just, I started to feature the picture of me on graduation day at Purdue. And I told them, if I would have known then what I know now, and that is what I hope to tell you today. So I just kind of shared the story of Lila Max Media, some, details of stories, what it was like to launch the business and my career. I think it went okay. I think maybe I unpacked some stuff that they could find useful.
Well, I think I'm sure it went great. I mean, you are extremely talented. I mean, you do get it, and it's fun to. I like to listen to you, and I like to hear what you have to say all the time. So, now, did you get into any of the business model of the markets at all, or was it strictly just about the media business and other things?
Well, it was mostly about me. The whole subject was kind of like launching a company. And so I stuck with that. But with the business leaders that I spoke to earlier, it was a breakfast. I did talk a lot about Wall Street. So I talked about, I thought they would be very interested to know how things are becoming computerized and how before the New York Stock Exchange, how many people were employed in 2000 versus now that trade on the floor. I talked about how traders tell me their jobs are like airline pilots, like they're important at the open, you know, or the takeoff and at the close or the landing, and basically computers take over everything in between. I talked about all the things that I've covered. I mean, 9/11 and Enron and Madoff and China and oil and dot-com bust. And I mean, just all the things. And what some of the things were that I hear now that people are worried about, negative interest rates. So I talked a little bit more like that with the business leaders. And then the students asked some good questions. Like, you know, what have been some things you covered that have been overhyped that turned out to be nothing? They asked me about, you know, just growing the business and sales. They talked to me also about, like, what Wall Street traders are thinking. So, you know, these are business students. So they were, they were pretty savvy about Wall Street. So anyway, I'm glad it's over, but it was thoroughly enjoyable.
I'm sure it was great. I mean, you know, again, you bring a lot. So Jane, what do you think now? Obviously, the markets have rallied quite a bit. And again, it doesn't matter. You know, markets are going to do what they're going to do over time. But when you look forward and you project out a couple of years from now, I mean, we both know we have a lot of work to do to really get the overall economy back in shape. Because, you know, the economy and Wall Street really don't mesh. They're really not the same thing.
Right.
And the economy still seems to be struggling a little bit. How do you see it playing out? I mean, we are the greatest country in the world. We have, you know, we've always been able to overcome this. And this is going to be, I think, in my mind, in history, this is going to be a dark era of a lot of bad things happening. But how do you see it playing out? And what would be your time frame estimation, just a guess, of when, you know, the economy itself would get better and we'd get back to, you know, good jobs and real good things happening for everybody?
Well, yes, first of all, I mean, we had this epic collapse, right, at the beginning of the year and have made this amazing recovery, which really Fed-driven. I mean, it really started, I mean, they call it the diamond correction or the diamond turnaround, Jamie Dimon, when he came in and bought all the shares of Chase, which actually was the day that things turned around. But I think overall it's more Fed-driven. The Fed backed off on interest rate hikes. And when you've got a stock market that responds more to the Fed than they do earnings and profits and growth, I think that's a problem. So, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I mean, it continues to happen. And we're going on, what, year 9 of this now? So, you know, I honestly, you know, I see like college students today, and I'm generalizing here, and this is media, you know, I'm sure has distorted things to an extent. But when I see college students, you know, complaining because somebody wrote Trump in chalk on their campus, I mean, I fear for the future. I'm just like, these kids are so not tough. They just can't let stuff roll off of them. They can't appreciate somebody with any kind of different point of view. And they're just so weak. And I just, you know, I mean, this could be a generational thing. I mean, this could be, it could take us getting into an absolute crisis globally and people wising up. And, you know, I just hope my kids are positioned, they're 6 and 8, are positioned to be able to get back to, you know, the work ethic that we had in this country, like in the 40s and 50s. And, you know, now it's just everybody just seems to complain about everything so much. And this is the future. It's the future generations where we're hearing the most whining.
Well, you're right there. And of course, a lot of it's got to do. Now, you happen to be, from my knowledge, a great parent, and you know, you don't just give in. And that's a good thing. But a lot of the parents, unfortunately, do just kind of, you know, make it easy because, unfortunately, we've become, you know, mostly a generation of two family workers and not enough time with the kids. And they've kind of become, you know, with technology, they've kind of become isolated a lot. And I think that could be a problem as well. And hopefully we'll straighten it out. But, you know, when we have people like Jane King speaking at Purdue, educating some of our youth, that's always a good thing, right?
Well, let's hope so. We'll see.
All right. Well, this has been my friend, Jane King, Lila Mexican, the Ka-Ching Report. You know, Jane, it's just great. And I always appreciate you coming on because you do bring, you and General Electric, you bring good things to light.
Thanks, bud.
Have a great day, Jane. Thank you so much, my dear. And that was our good friend Jane King, who always brings some interesting things. And of course, you know, it's nice to have somebody who's got both sides and doesn't always color the glass, you know, the way you want to hear it, but as she sees it, which I always appreciate. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. You miss an episode? LibertyTalk.fm. Join the over 300,000, excuse me, 200,000. We're trying to get the 200,000 people downloading it every day. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Margie said, Roy, you
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Not a lot. How are you doing, Todd?
Well, the markets are up, and I think surprising us both a little bit that we continue to grind higher under... It doesn't matter. Nothing matters right now except that the markets are going higher, and of course, you and I both know as technical traders that is sometimes what happens, and you can't fight it, but I know we've both been looking for an opportunity to sell here, but what are you seeing now?
Well, it is, you know, really strange. Well, it's happened before, but U.S. markets keep going higher, but the rest of the world isn't. I mean, Europe is down, hasn't, you know, gone any higher than March 10th. Japan got killed on Friday. They were down 3.5%, and they were down 4% for the week. So it's really, to me, just the U.S. that's pushing up.
Right, but most of the people that you hear are looking to trade the U.S. And of course,
right
now, you know, people that that I talk to all the time are going, well, is it time to start buying here? And of course, I say, I wouldn't buy here with phony money right now. I mean, it doesn't mean that this can't be the next bull leg up. It doesn't mean that we can't reset from up here somewhere. But certainly in the current pattern, I could never be a buyer. It doesn't mean I'm a seller here, but I could not be a buyer. What do you think?
I agree. I would certainly not be a buyer here. It's a judgment call on whether or not to short, but certainly wouldn't be buying.
Yeah, I mean, because it's, you know, again, we the only way I could potentially be a buyer if we'd go into a longer stage of consolidation, and then, you know, and that would just show us that maybe we have, you know, bottom and we're looking to make the next move up. But so what are some of your thoughts here? What are you seeing? What are you looking at?
Well, you know, last time we spoke about volatility and how the commercials were positioning in that, they are not messing around. They bought another big pile of long contracts, and they got rid of a lot of their short contracts. So they're now 3-to-1 net short. And last time they were positioned like this was August 18th, and that was right before we had a big sell-off, you know, the August sell-off last year. It was about 11% drop. And they, for whatever reason, they foresaw it, and they cleaned up on those volatility futures, and they have a similar position on now.
So they're buying volatility futures now, or they're selling them?
They're buying. So I don't know what I said. They're net long 3-to-1 net long volatility.
All right, so they're buying volatility because, of course, if you understand volatility, it could go lower. It's been lower, but certainly from a statistical standpoint, volatility is certainly near, not record lows, but you know, gaining on it. And you know, if you look at it from, you know, from just the measure of the VIX at 13%, you know, the lowest it's ever been, I think, is 9. So, and of course, it's been as high as 90. So here we are, you know, just hovering around the bottom. So you could certainly see the reason for step in. It's certainly a mathematical play, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's at the very bottom on end of its range, like you say, and it really doesn't have, as far as the pattern I have, it doesn't have a whole lot further to fall. I also follow VXN. That's super close to it's. We have a target that's just slightly lower, but it's really within the margin of error of that target. So it's at VXN for NASDAQ volatility is at 1584. We have a target around 1510. So I mean, it's that kind of move can happen in one day.
Now, so do you look for the European markets to continue to fail here?
Yeah, I mean, they've been rolling over since basically March 10th, and I just see that continuing. I mean, it certainly could pop back up. I'm thinking about the Eurostoxx 50. It could pop back up to its, you know, close to its March 10th highs again before then rolling over once more, but that's a very clear pivot area for me. So I just expect, you know, there's a little, if you were to get short here in Europe, there's a little bit of pain to the upside if you were short, but there's a lot of room to the downside. So it's a good risk reward setup. Same thing with Japan. I think Japan has at least another 10% to the downside.
Okay. So, well, I mean, I obviously wouldn't be surprised about that. Now, what are you looking for in our markets here now? What are you seeing?
Well, I mean, you know, I can pick one target after another on the upside, but you know, where we should top out. But I just don't think it's going to last much longer. I've said this for weeks now, though. But you don't really see, going back to the volatility issue, you don't see commercials, you know, getting long like this and then nothing happens. We should be nearing a peak very soon.
Okay. And again, right. Again, we can't pick it. I mean, and right now they continue to fight it. Now, I would look at, you know, where we are now. I mean, if I were to look at the S&P, I would say that probably, you know, we would look, say, I don't know, you know, 2080, 2100 would probably be the highest I could think we could possibly go. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that's about the highest I could see. We have a major, I mean, you know, going back up to the highs is what we're talking about, really. But 2100, I'd be shocked if it went through.
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, we all know that, you know, markets do what they want to do, and we can't tell the market what to do, and they will continue. But I think one of the interesting things I've started to notice, Matt, is that a lot of people, even big bears, are now coming out. Well, maybe it's time to buy now, which to me is always a sign that the end is near because they're starting to chase them in. Do you use any of that type of stuff when you're analyzing your charts at all?
You mean sentiment?
Yeah.
Yeah, I use it as a contrary indicator. It's exactly what you're saying. I mean, when everybody, you know, when all the bears throw in the towel and, you know, everybody starts thinking, oh, maybe I really should buy. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a classic sign of the top. So I'm kind of sticking to my guns here. It also doesn't make sense how the U.S. can continue to run higher while the rest of the world, you know, falls.
Well, and, I mean, from that standpoint, it actually does make a little bit of sense because, right, again, you've heard the old expression, the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. Any one of the analogies that I want to use, I mean, basically, there's nowhere else to go with your money. That is one of the issues, but that's also, in my opinion, one of the problems that we're creating is because we're putting everybody almost on the Titanic. I mean, basically, if you want to invest and you want to try to get some yield, you've got one place in the entire world to put your money, and that is the United States stock market, which is never a good sign when everybody's on the same side of the teeter-totter or the boat. What do you think?
No, that's true. I mean, it's the best, you're right, it's the best dirty shirt. But, you know, you can't, I just don't see how you can have, you know, I guess you could have net outflows of the rest of the world and into the U.S. I suppose that actually could happen. But it's, you know, usually, most of the global indices will move together. That's more common. One other thing that I think is a little bit odd is, you know, long-term rates are falling, have been falling for several weeks. So why, you know, if Janet Yellen isn't worried about inflation, she's going to let that run rampant, and, you know, the economy's doing just fine, or and the stock market's going up. Typically, all those things mean higher long-term rates. So that's kind of that's an anomaly here. Why are long-term rates continuing to fall? To me, that's just another divergence that says either the bond market's wrong or the stock market's wrong. And again, I usually think it's the stock market that's wrong more often than the bond market.
Well, no, I mean, and I agree with that as well. I mean, again, there's too many things that are fishy here. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the news over the weekend or that Janet Yellen made two phone calls on February 11th and February 12th, one to the head of the Bank of England and one to Mario Draghi. And it was the same day that Mr. Jamie Dimon bought back a bunch of J.P. Morgan stock. What are your thoughts? Any thoughts to the conspiracy theory there?
Well, I mean, yeah, the timing would be right, of course. I didn't even hear that news, but I really wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they all talk to each other, and the big J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, those guys, some of the owners of the Fed, probably they all talk as well.
Right. No, I mean, it's interesting that's happening, and it's certainly something that we need to look at as consideration. But I know also, before we get ready to go to break, I know that you're talking about something with gold, and I just wanted to. I know you had something to talk about, so why don't you take me through what you're thinking about?
Well, we have a very clear bottom in a bottom line in gold, and I really don't believe gold has bottomed yet. I know a lot of a lot of people I respect are saying that the bottom is in for gold, but I don't believe it. And the banks have gone dramatically short. So to make a long story short, we believe we know where gold's going to bottom, but we have a service where we'll send a one-time email and one-time text message saying when gold is within 3% of its bottom. And there's no charge for this service unless we're right.
Oh, all right. Well, that's my kind of guy. We got to be right to get it going. And that's good. And when we come back, you'll tell us how we do that and what we'd like to do to get to that point. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm visiting with my guy, Matt Demeter, Demeter Research, who has been terrific in his analysis. We can't always be right, but we always give you what we think and what we're seeing. So I got to always commend him for that and never backs down from what he thought. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you become one of the over 200,000 people a day that are downloading this program at libertytalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with my man, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, finish up. So, you're going to make a call when you think that gold is within 3% of its bottom. And there's no charge for the call. Is it text and an email, whatever? You're going to alert everybody ahead of time. If somebody wanted to participate in that, how would they do so?
They just go to DemeterResearch.com and click on the subscribe button at the upper right-hand corner. And then there'll be at the top, there'll be one-time event type subscriptions. And this is just it's free, and it's only $49 if we're right. And the deal is basically, once we're within 3% of where we believe gold will bottom, we'll send out an email and a text message. And if our target is correct, and we call it while we're still within 3% of the price, we might even do a little bit in advance so that, it depending on how fast you know, the market's moving. But if we are right, then we'll charge $49. And since, and by right, we have to have a move up from the bottom. We have to get it within 3%, and we have to have a rally of 20%.
Oh, my God. What a move.
So, all right. I'm charge in. Anything.
Sign so. Me up, baby. Sign me up. All right. So now let's talk about gold. Gold has been first, let's talk about this in general. Last week, there was a couple of days that were just really unbelievably sick because you had one day we had the bonds were up over a full point. The gold was up like $25 and the stock market was up huge. That is not the correct formation overall, and that is happening more and more often. Does that mean anything?
Maybe it just means, you know, more liquidity coming in. Obviously, it's, you know, for the stock market and for gold, you have the lower dollar. I'm not sure of, you know, what it means in treasuries. But by the way, speaking of dollar is right on support, on target support. It should be rallying fairly soon. So the next move from now should be just up. And I think we'll make a new high over the next, you know, 2-3 months.
I agree. I mean, I actually, you know, I thought the euro got a little bit carried away last week, and obviously that's one of the biggest components of the dollar index. So I could see that as well. And it's interesting that, you know, and the point that I was making, just so it's clear, of the question I asked you is typically for all three index or all three items, bonds, gold, and the markets to be up is very unusual. And usually, typically, one is wrong or 2 to 3 are wrong. And typically, if you believe in that the bonds are usually more correct than anything else, then the stock market should have been down or will be down. And that may be just be an indication of people spreading out and starting to move assets while still pumping some liquidity into the stock market. So we'll see. So what's your overall view here now? We just finished the quarter one, and we started out like we were going to go to zero. And then now we look like we're going to the moon. So how do you interpret all this recent action here?
I think it's just, it's been on lighter and lighter volume on the way towards the top here. Going back to what you were saying about sentiment, if you look at sort of smart money sentiment versus, you know, dumb money sentiment, we're now at a pretty wide divergence on the two. Where
a lot of dumb money in there right now, right?
Yeah,
but I got to look at my money as dumb because I've been a little bit short, and so I got to say that right now I'm the dumb money.
So I'm in the same boat. Did the same thing. Started shorting too early, just because I see when you see lower prices, you know, coming, you don't want to miss out on it, and that's we were just too early, which at some point becomes wrong.
Right. No, I get, you know, look, one of the things about trading, look, you and I talk about this all the time, and I try to make it clear to everybody out there, there is no black box. I mean, there one thing for sure, there ain't no guarantee. But what we're really doing and what Matt does and what his work does is give you the best mathematical probability model that says you're going to be right. Again, you have to remember that the game of trading, okay, is a skill game, very much like the game of gin, backgammon, poker, and bridge. Those are all mathematical games. So even if you get the best hand, you may not win that hand. Even if you have the absolute right level, sometimes markets do overshoot one way or the other, and you have to be prepared for that, which is why we also use defensive mechanisms to say, okay, we're wrong here. We'll get out and look for a new place to reevaluate. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I know you do a lot of hedging, and I do less of it because I don't do as much with options. But, yeah, you have to have a game plan, which I know you have and we have as well. So, you know, we've been hurt, but not from being short, but not too badly. And we're looking for, you know, big gains in the next, you know, few weeks.
Oh, no, I agree. Look, again, yeah. you have to be able to take the losses because I don't care who you are. There are drawdowns in this business. So you have to be prepared for that drawdown. And it's really the successful trader, the successful CMTs are the ones that say, okay, yeah, I'm short. I made a mistake. I'm wrong. I'm going to exit now and look for another time to enter. And that's all you do. And I think that's the more important thing about trading is not chasing what isn't working at the moment, but then reevaluating and looking for the next opportunity. And I think that's what you do all the time, is it not?
That's right. And I mean, you know, you have your game plan for how you handle that. And the way we handled it was we said, look, there's so much relative strength in the U.S. We just abandoned the U.S. trade. So what we did is we got short. We shifted all our short exposure to Europe and to Asia, and that was fine. So we haven't taken any additional losses for the past 2 to 3 weeks, and that's, you know, so we're just now we're starting to profit from those positions because they're rolling over.
All right, and of course that's exactly what you do. Now, are you still a big lover of wheat here? I mean, wheat's been really much in a consolidation pattern now between, I don't know, 455 and 485. If you look at it, and we just had the big report, which I know doesn't affect you, and nor does it affect me. I mean, you know, I say nationally that I don't really care about the report. In fact, I was looking for new contract lows in corn, which we got on Thursday. And of course, beans are right now the strongest. And I know your position was long wheat, short corn, and short beans. So now, what do you see? You still like the same position, or you just like the long wheat right now?
Still like the combined position, the pair trade. So obviously, corn was much weaker than soybeans, like you said. We're at a profit on the position because we were half short corn, half short soybean against our, you know, long wheat. And we're profitable on the position, and we think it will continue to work. In soybeans, the charts are saying, you know, the indicators are saying it's quite overbought. The commercials continue to increase their short positions there. It's looking more and more bearish in terms of their positioning. So we expect soybeans to fall, at least relative to wheat.
And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think that this is a key level. I think it's now 910, 920 in the grain, in the soybeans. But let me ask you this, though. This is, you know, grains are a little different than, you know, equities and indexes, because they do have one effect that we can never account for, and that would be weather. Now, again, that'll build into the charts as a footprint, but any given day, you know, plus the lack of real volume compared to the other markets, does sometimes create a problem. Has that ever created a problem for you?
No, I don't pay attention at all to weather. It blows my mind. I have no idea why some of the methods that I use work. I just know that they do work.
Right.
And so when I see where a bottom line for where, you know, wheat or soybeans or corn should be, weather does not factor into it at all. Somehow the chart already knows it's factored into the chart.
I don't disagree with that at all. I don't believe any of that crap myself. You know, the old story is if it rains on LaSalle Street, the greens are going to move. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But they are just a tad bit of different. And again, I don't worry myself and concern about that. I mean, I still believe that, you know, I said that I felt corn had to make a new contract low, which it did. And I still think wheat has a chance. But wheat does look, I mean, excuse me, soybeans, but they look a little bit stronger. But, you know, here we are, you know, and well, again, one of the nice things about being a technician is you don't really care about anything else. The chart gives you all the answers. The footprints are built in. And you got about 15 seconds if you want to make one last statement or a message to everybody out there.
You know, I think it's a good time to be, you know, short Europe. And if you're interested in the gold bottom call, just check out our site, DemeterResearch.com, and click on subscribe, and you'll be listed there.
And this is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. And we've got a new options program now we're starting to offer. So we've got options, futures, and hedging. If you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you there. All you have to do is go there, and you can get download and be among the 200,000 people a month that download the show. This has been The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Put some feel good
in my soul. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Event.